you turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. While you're turning there, Emily Dickerson's in the hospital at UK, but she's doing well, little girl. She's doing well. I'm thankful for that. And so is Savannah any better?
Last 2 days, much better.
Well, we're very thankful for that. And she's at Cardinal Hill. Yeah. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not. And that's the word that's generally translated evil. And the ground barren. It can't bring forth life. It causes miscarriages. And he said, Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Let's pray again. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in the name of thy Son. And Lord, we ask that we would hear the gospel in the power of your Spirit, that you would reveal yourself to us through the preaching of your word, that we might be enabled to see thy blessed Son as all in our salvation. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We pray that we might be found in Him. We pray that you'd give us the grace, truly, Lord, by your grace, to love you more. We're ashamed that we would even have to make such a request. But oh, the dullness of this flesh that holds us down. Lord, we pray for the hastening of your return. Lord, be with all your people wherever they meet together. And Lord, we pray for Savannah, that your healing power would be upon her, that you'd use this for her good and your glory. We pray for Emily, that your healing hand might be upon her. We pray for these families. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Elisha means God is salvation. What a name. God is salvation. And this is demonstrated in this second miracle that he performs. Now, the first was taking the prophet's mantle and smiting the Jordan, and it parted, and he demonstrated by that he was the successor of Elijah. The Lord was showing everybody that. And in this second miracle, he tells us what his name means. Jehovah is salvation. Now, look in verse 19 again. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant. It's agreeable. We like this place. The situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth. I mean, look around. It looks good. But, and this is a big but. But the water is not. It's evil. It's no good. And the land can't bring forth any life. It can't bring forth any fruit. Now, here we have a beautiful picture of man. Man is created in the image of God. And there are plenty of good things about men. The situation is pleasant. Now, how many people do you know who are not believers that are, humanly speaking, fine men and women? What we would call good people. They love their families. They provide for their families. Good moms, good dads, good citizens. People who would help you if they can. People who, just on a human level, we would call them fine men and women. You know a lot of people like that. You know a lot of people aren't like that too, don't you? But you know some really, quote, good people created in the image of God. People who perhaps would die for their country. They'll stand up for what's right. They have a sense of justice and fairness. Good people created in the image of God. Now, we all know people like that, don't we? The situation of this city is pleasant, as you can see. As far as the appearance goes, you can see this. But, it's a big but. But the water is not. It's evil. And it cannot produce life. The ground is barren. It can't produce life. It actually says when the animals have children in this this environment, there's abortions. Untimely deaths. No life comes from anything about this place. Now, the waters are evil. That's what the word not is. And the same word is used in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, when it says, and listen to this real carefully, and God saw that the wickedness of man, not individual men, but all men, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great. The word wickedness is the same word translated not. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, what about those good people that you were just talking about? Well, before God, you take the most moral man alive and you take the most evil man alive. Before God, there's no difference. Scripture says that. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this description of man, he's evil. You believe that about yourself? Do you believe yourself to be an evil person? You know, I know I am. I have no question about it. And the only way you're going to know that about yourself is if the Lord reveals it to you. You're going to see that I've got a heart that's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And I can't even trust my own thoughts. All I can trust is what God's Word says. The waters are evil. And the ground can't bring forth life. There's nothing about me or you that can produce spiritual life. You can't give yourself spiritual life any more than you can give yourself physical life. You can't do anything to give yourself physical life, can you? I mean, absolutely nothing. Nothing. Well, I think I'm going to live. I think I'm going to be born. It doesn't work that way, does it? And these human natures of ours are evil. and can't do anything to bring forth life. Now, it's what we call total depravity and total inability. When we talk about total depravity, you've heard that term. That means every faculty is under the dominion of sin. Your conscience, you can't crush that. Your will, it's chained to an evil nature. Your affections, you love what you ought to hate. And by nature, we hate what we ought to love. Total depravity and total inability is seen in this inability to bring forth life. The Lord put it this way. In John 6:44, no man can come to me. No man can. He lacks the ability to come to me. If God leaves me and you to ourselves, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to hell. You believe that? If God leaves me and you to ourselves, we'll never come to Christ. We'll never see any beauty in Him. We'll never see our need of Christ. We'll never see the glory of God. We'll go to hell. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now here we have this situation that's pleasant. Men can look great, can't they? I mean, we're not going to deny that, and I'm thankful for that. But the water is not. As we go on reading, we're going to find out where Elisha cast that salt into the springs, the fountainhead of the water, because it made everything evil. No matter what it was, no matter how good it may appear, it's evil. Now, I want me and you to believe this because it's what God's Word teaches. And that's the reason. God has revealed Himself in His Word, the Bible. There is none righteous, no, not one. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They've altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Let me show you a scripture that we don't use probably enough, but turn to Isaiah 64. I'm going to begin in verse 5. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance. Now, what's he saying? We have sinned and we're still committing those sins. Now, that's a sobering way to put it. But that's what he says. We have sinned and we're still committing those sins. Would that describe you? I'm not asking anybody to answer out loud, but would that describe you? Well, let's go on reading. Verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as, and the word is minstrel's rags. And this is the prophet speaking. All our righteousnesses are as minstrel's rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Now that is the confession of the prophet, and it ought to be the confession of every one of us, this description. Now let's go back to our text. Verse 19, and the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. It can't bring forth life. And he said, bring me a new cruse, a new bowl, one that hadn't been used before, one that had not been used by man. That's significant. This is not something man has used. Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters, the fountainhead where the waters came from. He went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Now, this is a curious thing to think about. I mean, bring me a new bowl, put salt in it. They brought him this bowl of salt, and he cast the salt into the spring, the fountainhead of the waters, and they were made fresh, made clean. You could now drink them. The poison was gone. The land could now bring forth fruit. Now, what is the significance of the new bowl? It's not been touched by man. You say, well, men made it. I know, but the point is, it's not something that has been used by man. That's the reason. This is of the Lord. This is not of man. A new bowl. And what about salt? What about salt? What does salt signify in the Scripture? Well, let me give you some examples of how it's used. What happened to Lot's wife when she turned around and looked back toward Sodom? She turned into a pillar of salt, didn't she? Judgment. When God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, it became a land of salt. And you know, with every Old Testament sacrifice, what did you have to have with it? Salt. Salt. Salt signifies the judgment of God. Now, the only way that I can be saved and that I can bring forth life, well, I can't bring forth life. He brings it forth in me if I'm saved. First, my sin has to be judged. God is holy. God is righteous. God is going to punish sin. If He did not punish sin, that would make Him like me and you, unjust. Now, I mean, even on a human level, what if a judge found somebody guilty and said, well, I'm going to pardon them? Wouldn't happen, would it? If you're guilty, you have to be judged. I mean, even in our court systems, on a human level, it's got to be that way. And if somebody murdered my daughter and the judge says, well, they're guilty, but I'm going to forgive them, we've got some problems, don't we? We've got some real problems. God is God, and He must punish sin. And that salt thrown in the water signifies the complete, signifies the sacrifice of Christ. That's what that's talking about, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is everything, everything in our salvation. The only way God can accept me and embrace me is if my sin is punished and put away. And God has made a way to be just and to actually justify, make not guilty, make righteous people like me and you. That's the mystery of the gospel. And I hope that I never preach one time without saying something about this. Maybe not using the exact words, but how God can be just and justify the ungodly. The salt represents the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because every sacrifice had to have salt, the salt of the covenant. Salt, the judgment of God. And my sin was punished. And now life can come because the sin is gone. Now the land can bring forth fruit. God not only judges my sin, He now has a reason to give me life. He couldn't do it. Or not He couldn't in the sense of His inability, but as a just God, He could not give me life as long as I have sin. But the sin is dealt with. The sin is put away. It's eradicated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I can bring forth life. Now let's go on reading. Verse 20. He said, "Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein, the judgment." And they brought it to Him, and He went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there. And said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters." Now that word "healed" is the same word used in Isaiah 53. "By His stripes we are healed." This is the work of God. He said, "I have healed these waters." He didn't say, "I've offered you an opportunity to be healed." He didn't say, "I've left it up to you as to whether or not you'll be healed. Here it is, it's available." No, the salt was cast into the waters. This is the Lord's work. "I have healed these waters." And if you're a believer, listen to me, the Lord has healed you. He has. Make no doubt about it. He has healed you. You stand before God without guilt. Now let's go on reading. "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." Now life is brought forth. Now the reason you're born again, if you are, the reason you have spiritual life, is not because you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's ridiculous. The reason you're born again is because Christ died for your sins and God gave you life. That's why. That's the only reason. God gave you. And if you have life, you know this. You know it. I don't have to convince anybody this that has life. You know it's the work of God. Verse 22. "So the waters were healed unto this day." Now, I like that. When God heals, it is irreversible. "It's so unto this day." Right now. Right now. This day. Boy, isn't that a reason? This day, you stand justified before God. Right now. This day. What God does is irreversible. "So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake." Now this once again represents the preaching of the gospel. The waters were healed. Now Elisha, what was Elisha? He's a sinful man like me and you. How bad are you? That's how bad Elisha was. Most of us don't really believe that. We look at these characters in the scripture and we think, well, we just aren't like them. Well, they're just like you. As a matter of fact, it said of Elijah, he was a man of like passions. And that word "passions" is always used in the bad sense. Somebody says, "I'm passionate about doing good." That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about the bad sense. He was a man of like passions. All the wicked things that go on in your heart went on in his heart. The bad things you do, he did. He was a sinner like me and you. So this is not elevated. Why am I saying all this? We're not elevating the preacher. I hate clergy laity with a passion. We're not elevating the preacher. The preacher, but this is still true. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now this is Elisha's word. The waters were healed according to the word of God. Now, Elisha's just a man. I don't want to elevate. I don't want to elevate preachers. Too many preachers do that. I don't want to elevate preachers. Preachers are just don't put them on a pedestal in any way, preachers. Now, respect them if the Lord's called them. If God has called a man to preach the gospel, I want to hear what he says. And, I don't want to lower the office. Paul said, I magnify mine office, and I do. I mean, in that sense, I know that the Lord has called me to preach the gospel. But what am I? Altogether vanity. And Elisha understood that, yet it was through his word, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When the Ethiopian eunuch is sitting there reading Isaiah 53, and that's what I'm going to preach on this morning, Isaiah 53. Frank's going to preach tonight. We're glad to have you here. Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And that's what the Lord uses. And this happened according to the saying of Elisha, the man of God.